Breeze.
Radio 923, informative, local, dependable. Welcome back to Pep Talk. This is the Car Care Show. I'm PJ, your host, and with me right now is Ken Chartel from Affordable Automotive. Welcome back to the show, sir. How are you doing?
Hello, PJ. How are you today?
Good. So we're without Kenny today.
Yes, we're without Kenny. We have one other. Mark is having a little issue with his eyes, so Kenny had to run front today.
Understandable. So, yep. Summer is officially just around the corner now.
It's pretty much here. Yesterday sure felt like it anyway.
So it's getting hot outside. People are taking vacations. What do they need to be thinking about?
Just making sure that their cars are ready for any road trip that they're planning on going to. Keeping up with your fluids, oil changes, tire pressures. Remember, in the wintertime, the tire pressures get low. In the summertime, they get higher, so you got to cut them back down to what you need. Tire pressure is a very important thing for fuel economy, and we all know the price of gasoline these days. So,
yeah, it seems like I'm working on my tire pressure all the time. I actually bought one of those little portable inflators that plugs into your cigarette lighter.
Yep.
I use that probably at least once a month, maybe more.
You don't have to have a leak in the tire for them to go low. It just, the air molecules actually just bleed through the rubber, and so the air pressure goes low. So it's very important that you check that just for one fuel economy and longer tire wear.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are good to have, by the way, for long trips, because one of the times I had to do it was in Kentucky. So
You never know what you're going to pick up on the road.
Absolutely.
And, it might, if it's a catastrophic blowout, well, then you're forced to put the spare on. But as long as it's a slow leak, one of those might get to a tire shop to get you fixed.
Absolutely. So what is the most common summertime vehicle problem?
Usually overheating is a pretty common problem on them. The cooling systems are under a lot of stress in the summertime. The engine itself is trying to run around 200 degrees, and it's, the radiator's trying to keep it cool. So it's imperative that you keep your fluid levels up and everything up on reservoir tanks and things like that. So biggest common thing, really, I'd say, is cooling system type problems, small leaks and things like that. Over time, you just start losing a little coolant. Had a vehicle just last week that I pressure checked it. I could not find anything, but the engine was warm. So we kept the vehicle overnight and pressure checked it first thing in the morning. And sure enough, I found the leak right there by the upper radiator. It was just a clamp that had, come loose a little bit, and it was just a slight seepage, but the guy was complaining that the car was overheating. And it was mainly because the fluid level had gotten lower, and, it wasn't much low. It was only about a quart low, but that made the difference between an overheat and a non-overheat.
Yeah, I would guess with taking your car in for an oil change, that's a good time to get those levels checked out.
Yes, and when you bring it to us, we do check all those fluid levels and, power steering, the radiator, brake fluids, all the vital fluids to keep them rolling, and just make sure they're all topped off. Some of the quick places, I, don't know if they check them all like that, but we try to make sure we check everything in the way of fluids just to make sure they're up, because every vehicle's going to use some, they're going to use some fluids. I mean, it's just, there's no such thing as a non-seeping vehicle.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would guess with the, heat index yesterday, I think was like 105, and it can get up to 115. So that extreme heat can sometimes affect the different systems of a vehicle, right?
Yes, it does, especially the batteries. Batteries do not like hot weather. That's what kills a battery, is the hot weather. It shows up in the wintertime when it's cold, but really the death of the battery was during the hot summer months. So not much you can do about that, because they bury a lot of them under the hood, so they're subject to all that heat underneath the hood.
Yeah. So what other steps can people take to avoid getting stranded?
Well, I mean, you can't foresee everything.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know, a good eye on everything is the best thing. Just looking around, making sure that, you know, you don't see any leaks or any weird smells. Antifreeze has a sweet smell as it's burning, and I wouldn't say burning, but as it's leaking and it hits that hot engine block or whatever, it has a very sweet smell to it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's distinctive when you do feel, you know, or do smell that. And, you know, then you got a leak somewhere, and not always will you see it on the ground. Just like I was mentioning the other day with that other car that we had, I did not see anything on the ground. I mean, it was actually, I had to put it up on the hoist and physically look at each hose clamp. And that was when I found that.
Yeah, so. I know that smell well. In my younger days, I had a car where, you know, let's just say I smelled it, and pretty soon there was smoke coming out of the engine. So.
Yeah, usually when you start smelling it, the bigger catastrophic leak is going to happen.
Absolutely. Ken Chartel, Affordable Automotive, is our guest on the Car Care Show, 437-1620. If you have any questions for him today, he answers lots of questions. He's very familiar with a lot of stuff. Howard, our sales guy, is also in the studio today. Welcome, Howard.
Ken, how are you?
I'm doing great, Howard. Good to see you.
Good to see you. I see that you haven't escaped just yet for your Canadian lake trip that you usually take in the summer.
Yeah, no, I have not yet. I haven't completely decided when I wanted to go up yet.
As soon as it hits 95, we'll see you.
Yeah, most likely. A few more days like yesterday, and I'll be ready to go and get into cooler weather.
I know you will. I'm going with you, by the way.
Okay.
Hey, I had a question about some, because I run into this question too a lot, about the proper way of adding the coolant into your vehicle, and then do you have to let it run and cycle in where it takes in more of the coolant through the reservoir? Can you explain that to people? Because that comes up a lot. Some people think, hey, you just open the radiator and pop it in.
Well, you never want to open that radiator cap when the engine's hot. The systems are now, years ago, they were under around 10 to 12 PSI of pressure, but you also notice a lot more cars with the hoods open and things like that, you know, and the steam coming out. So they've upped the radiator caps now to, most are running around 20 PSI. So you do not want to open that up when it's hot, because that 212, 220 degree water is going to come out and it will scald you badly.
So when you're adding it to the reservoir, you got the little line that says full or whatever. Mm-hmm. When you're starting to add, and the let's just say you got a cold engine and mm-hmm. so forth, what's the proper technique to making sure you're topped off properly and not too much?
Well, if it's on a cold engine, sure, go ahead and open up that radiator cap, and you know, the water level should be, or antifreeze and water should be right there at the top of that radiator cap. Then look over at your reservoir bottle, make sure it is between the low mark and the full mark, mm-hmm. and you know, top those things off as needed. The funny thing is that reservoir tank, it's only going to take water in from that reservoir tank when the engine is cool, because when it's hot, it creates pressure, but when the engine cools down, it creates a vacuum in there.
Oh.
And the radiator cap has a check valve in it. And if that check valve is not good, it can't suck the fluid back from that reservoir tank.
Okay.
So, yes, you say, oh, gee, the car's overheating, the engine's already hot, I can't open the radiator cap, I'm going to add it to the reservoir bottle. But you're not going to get that fluid into the engine until it cools down again.
Oh, okay. Well,
so, you know, you think, oh, I'm doing something, a good thing, you know, by topping it off.
Yeah, I did that before myself. And mm-hmm. I made that mistake. So, yeah, that's good. That's good, though.
So
good information.
You know, that's the best way to do that. And, you know, some of them are a real pain in the neck to find the radiator cap. They'll have mm-hmm. a plastic cover over the top, and go to that infamous owner's manual, and it'll tell you if you have to remove any covers or things like that. They have a maintenance section in most owner's manuals for the do-it-yourselfers.
Or just bring it to you.
Yeah, or bring it to us, you know. Bring it to us at Gulf Breeze Automotive.
So you guys, when everybody's, like, on the road and they're, you know, they're trying to get their cars checked and that sort of thing like that, and it's real important. They don't want to be broke down. But do you ever have a client that's a customer that's on the road and they go, oops, I got a question for Ken and Kenny there. They give you a call every now and then and say,
yes, we have had that.
Really?
We have had that before where somebody will have a breakdown and they won't be near us or somewhere and they're at a shop, and we'll get the – sometimes we will get a call where they'll say, hey, is what they're telling me sound about right? And, you know, not seeing the vehicle or being with the vehicle, you have to ask some questions, and, you know, hopefully they can give you the answer.
And you might want to put your speed dial number out there right now.
Yeah. What is your number and where can they find you?
You can find us at 5366 Gulf Breeze Parkway. We're a mile west of the zoo. Or you can reach us at 850-932-0811. Or you can find us on the web at Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze.
All right, perfect. Ken Chartel, Affordable Automotive, is our guest today on the Car Care Show. And looks like actually we just had a question come in. So do you all do an overall AC diagnostic check for people?
Yes, we can check the AC systems. You know, that's not a problem. We have the machines to hook it up so we can look at the pressures. The air conditioning systems work on pressures, high pressure and low pressure. And I can go into a whole bunch of science on how that works. But but yes, we can, no problem. We can check out your AC system, you know, whether it's a mode door problem. Anymore, they're using a lot of electric motors to work the vent, to defrost the floor, the heat, the cold. That used to all be cables. Never had a problem with a cable, but now we're gone all electronics. And these little electric motors, they burn out, and they have a lot of plastic gears in them. They break, and then the door quits moving. So what you think might be an air conditioning problem with the refrigerant or compressor, it could be just one of these mode door motors not opening and closing like they should.
Okay. Do you do like AC recharges and things like that?
Oh, yes. We do full AC work. We'll... evaporators, condensers, any part of the system, you know, we'll take care of it.
Yeah, with summer being here, the heat's no joke, and you want to take care of the inside of that car.
That's it. I will have to say our air conditioning work has gone up quite a bit and with these warmer days, and it'll only get more as time goes on. You know, in the spring, you might have turned on your AC, and it felt pretty cool, and it wasn't bad at all. But now when it gets this hot, that really taxes the system. And if you are a little low on refrigerant, it's not going to feel as cold. So, you know, if it's completely hot, you know, there might not be any refrigerant, or it could be like the other day. We seen the belt it broke. It was on a vehicle where it had just, you know, one belt for the air conditioning system, and that particular belt had broken, and that was all it took to repair it. So everything else was fine on it.
Yeah, I would guess with older vehicles, it's probably more of a common problem with those in terms of the upkeep.
Yeah, it gets that way with the older vehicles. The upkeep part is a problem that I find a lot of times. People get a little complacent and they go ahead and they change your oil. They'll take it to a quick lube thing and get the oil changed. But a lot of those don't really, you know, they're there to change the oil and your air filter and things like that. But for any major services, and some of these vehicles trying to change a belt on them anymore is, you know, it's tough. I mean, some of them are so buried, and there's so much shrouding around them. That's not an easy thing anymore, just to change a belt. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know.
All right, Ken Chartel, our guest today, Affordable Automotive, on the Car Care Show, 437-1620, if you have any questions. So what steps can car owners take to minimize the expense of cars? What kind of good upkeep can they do on their own just to make sure that those expenses don't come later on?
My suggestion always is keeping that oil changed at regular intervals, bringing it to Affordable Automotive, letting us check it out, making sure that all the other fluids, a leaking power steering pump, we are going to electric power steering now, but there's a lot of cars out there still with power steering pumps, and they'll seep in a little bit. And if you don't catch that leak soon enough, you're going to lose your steering. So, you know, it's always a good idea if you see a hose that's starting to seep, get it replaced. And because if it breaks on you down the road, and you can probably burn the pump up. If you drive it any length of time with no fluid in it, it's a mechanical pump and it needs lubrication besides making the pressure for the power steering. So,
yeah. So what year of vehicle did the electric start? And then you might see the pump in the older ones.
Electric steering kind of started, you know, in the mid 2000s, around 2010 is when you really started seeing them, and a lot of manufacturers have gone to electronic power steering now.
Okay.
And, those still have failures too. Mm-hmm. So even though it's electronic, you get electrical glitches on those. And so now you lose power steering because of a bad ground or a bad corrosion on a battery can even cause something like that. Because that power steering needs a lot of power to make it work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So are you seeing customers that have thermostat failures?
Yeah, you notice thermostat failures. Those are kind of common year-round, but you do see a lot of thermostat failures. They'll stick shut, and you'll get an overheat problem with them. Or they'll be lazy and say if they're supposed to open at 195 degrees, maybe they're opening at 215 degrees instead. So now it's opening much too late, and the engine's already a lot hotter than it should be, and now you're asking that radiator to try to cool down this extra hot water. So, and you'll notice that your temperature gauge will run a little higher than it normally does. So, temperature gauges should pretty much run year-round in about the same place.
Okay.
It might take a little longer in the wintertime for it to get to that point because it is cooler out. And in the summertime, it gets to that normal point pretty quick. So,
yeah. 437-1620, if you have any questions for our guest today, Ken Chartel from Affordable Automotive. We do have a question for you on the text line. Is it really worth using synthetic oil versus good old standard? Now, I know that some vehicles, you have to use synthetic.
Yes, that's correct. Mm-hmm. Some vehicles, you do need to use a synthetic. Most of all the manufacturers now have gone to synthetic. Now, that doesn't mean you have to use it. It's recommended to use it because there are certain additives in the synthetics that conventional oil does not have in it.
Mm-hmm.
Synthetics will last a little longer. That's another reason why they've gone to that, because the manufacturers also want your service interval times. They want to increase that. It helps the cost per mile cost of running your vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
With conventional oil, you do need to change it a little more often. I'm still a firm believer with conventional, somewhere between 3,000 to 4,000, and on a full synthetic, somewhere between 5,000 to 6,000. Is a lot of manufacturers now are going up to 10,000 miles, 12,000 miles. That's great, but if you want to keep that car for a long time and you want to put 250,000 on it, you'd really need to change it more often than that 10,000 mark. I mean, that's again, they're trying to make the service intervals longer so that there's less money out of your pocket. Oil changes aren't cheap these days either, because the price of oil and everything, what it is right now. So, I know, but it's still a good idea.
Yeah.
It's cheap insurance to change it.
I was always told growing up that 3,000 really meant 6,000 by certain influences in my life.
Right.
And then my father-in-law came along and he said, you know, if you would just change the oil every 3,000, like they say, you're going to have fewer problems. And gosh darn it, he's been right.
Mm-hmm, because there's things that build up in the oil. And yes, it reburns the gases, but even when the engine's not running, there's vapors coming off this oil and it gets up inside the hoses and things like that, your PCV lines, some of your vacuum hoses if the car's using vacuum for running certain options. And what happens is that that gets up inside the hose and it deteriorates it from the inside out. And by keeping it cleaner oil in it, you won't deteriorate that hose as quick from the inside out. Mm-hmm. So that's why I suggest, you know, keeping up with it. And like you said, you know, 3,000 meant 6,000. No, stick with it. You know, stick with it. If I can't stress one thing more, change your oil, change your oil, change your oil.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just imperative.
Absolutely. We do have another question for you on the text line. So how often should people change filters? And then they have a follow-up question, especially if they're located toward the top.
Like filters, air filters, assuming.
This is a general question. So,
okay. I mean, filters, when we do an oil change and things like that, and we will pull the air box apart and take a – it's a physical thing. You can look at it and see – how dirty it is, shine a light, a little flashlight in it. If you can see light through it, it's still good. When mm-hmm. you can't see light through it anymore, it's time to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and in, again, some of these manufacturers have buried the air filters to where it's hard for the, you know, to do it yourself or to just try to do it. You need a whole bunch of tools just to get this air cleaner box apart. Mm-hmm. So, you know. And then as an oil filter, that's a must to change with the oil. I don't recommend, you know, they say that these new filters are better and can go farther and things like that. But to me, it's a must. You got to change that filter each oil change.
Yeah. They did clarify they meant the oil filter. So.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
Yeah. No, I mean, I totally recommend, you know, changing your oil filter.
So continuing on with the discussion of it's summertime, people want to take a look at their AC. Talk to me a little bit about cooling fan issues that might crop up for cars.
Well, again, years ago, that fan belt just says, you know, did what it says. It was a fan belt. It turned the fan. Now we've gone to, again, electric motors, and, you know, we'll notice some have two motors or two fans under the hood. Some will just have one. Really depends on the vehicle and things like that. But you can get those coolant fan motors where one fan, the motor will burn out in it. The other one will keep working. You might see a rise on your temperature gauge if one of the fans are out. The other thing you'll most definitely notice is, gee, at a traffic light, my AC is not cooling like it used to. Down the road, it works great. Mm-hmm. But sitting at a traffic light, it doesn't, because the air conditioning, like the engine, it needs cool air to keep those radiator and condenser cool. And when you're stopped, there's no airflow. When you're driving down the road, no, it really doesn't need that coolant fan as such, because there's enough air being rammed through by driving down the road. So another reason they went to electric fans, just for that reason. So you're driving down the interstate, that coolant fan might never ever come on, you know, in 100 miles you're going down there. But as soon as you pull off the interstate, oh, it's going to go a roaring.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, and again, that saves wear and tear on other parts, saves fuel economy, as where you always had that fan turning.
Okay, our half an hour is up, so one more time, how do they get a hold of you?
You can reach us at Affordable Automotive, Gulf Breeze.